It's the verse of the week of Colossians 3:17. It's whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God our Father. Let's pray. Our Father God, we come before You this morning. And man, we sing to You, Lord, and we give You all the honor and glory that everything that we have brought with us today, I pray that, Lord, that we can lay it at Your feet. Our burdens, our worries, our broken hearts, and even our joy of being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are so grateful that, Father, that we can come here as a body of believers to come and to worship You and to learn from You, to know who You are, to know what You did, and how You would want each one of us to live our life just like You. And so today, Lord, as we open up Your Word, as we begin to unfold and unveil the Word of God, I pray that, God, that You would speak to us today. May Your Holy Spirit, Lord, dwell in this place and fill each person here today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. I tell you, I don't know how he writes a song like that in one day. I mean, that's it's truly unbelievable. It would take me close to roughly 10 years. And then trying to play the guitar would be another 20. So there's no way I could do that. But it's a powerful song. And I want to extend my thanks for the Hell family and all of you that are here today. We will, after the service at 1 p.m., we will have the viewing and the celebration of one of the greatest men that we know here at Living Hope Baptist Church. And we will honor him. And when I think about honoring him, when I think about what he honored, was obviously why we're here today, right? We're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're here to honor Him, because that's what Kyle would want us to be doing as well. And so, last week, I began a beginning series on what is known as the Believer's Judgment. It's called the Bema Seat, the Judgment Seat of Christ. And to make sure that you understand really right off at the beginning is that this Believer's Judgment is not a judgment of sin. It's not a judgment of where you are in terms of not knowing Christ or knowing Christ. This is a believer's judgment that each person, if you claim to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have received Him in your heart, this message should be one of the most encouraging messages for each and every single one of us on how we live our lives right now for the amount of time that the good Lord has given each and every single one of us. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest theologians of all time, probably the most quoted theologian of all time, says this: "There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers first." There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers first. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up, you must deny yourself and take up your cross each day and follow me." Each and every single one of us have a choice every day on how we want to live our life and to take up our cross and say that we are crucified with Christ, and it's I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. We are a brand new creation. The old life is gone, and behold, we have this brand new life. And each one of us should be excited on having this brand new life in Jesus Christ. This believer's judgment seat is all about the Lord's rewards for us in heaven someday. It's waiting for us. John says, and Jesus says in John's verse, that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. This place that he's preparing, these rewards that he's getting ready, the crowns that are about to be placed on your head, and the ones that we will throw at Jesus' feet someday, is being prepared right now on the things that you are doing right now, in the body, in the flesh, until you meet him face to face. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all, that includes every one of us, it's all inclusive, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for us, the things while in the body, whether good or bad, the things that we do in the good, the heavier things that last, which is the gold and the silver and the precious stones. It's the things that have made it through the sluice spots, the things that are still standing. What are we doing here on earth that is still standing, that still can go through the fire, that can go through the testing? That's what we're living our life for. Or the bad, which also means the light, the lighter things, the things that, are we doing things for our own self? Are we doing things for our own glory? Are we wanting our reward right now? Or do we want our reward waiting for us in heaven? I will tell you, I would much rather have something that's going to last for all of eternity than to have my 5 minutes of fame right now. And as I began to prepare this message last week, I was reminded, as we began to look at our true foundation, I was reminded of, and like you guys, you've seen on TV, Hurricane Katrina's and all the other hurricanes. We're watching Hawaii right now. We've seen the floods that have come through Louisiana. We've seen the floods that came through Houston that have occurred over the years. And what's interesting right now is beginning to think, how can we make these foundations? How can we make these homes not look like that? How can we build the foundations that will literally will keep the houses in place, that will keep the structures in place? And so engineers and home builders and architects are literally building things right now and looking at the true foundations of everything that they build from here on out. They've already begun testing things that would allow things to be able to stay in place, especially in some of the worst places, by the seas, by the places that flood the most. They're literally putting in things. And one thing that's happening, is one thing that is occurring as they begin to test these sites and begin to put structures in place on what will actually help something stand. The common denominator, the intentional and necessary steps that they are basically putting in place is this. They must be anchored into the foundation. They must be anchored into the foundation for it to even be able to withstand water, wind, and all sorts of destruction that may come through its path. By anchoring these things, these are the things that will actually help make it literally not weather away. What will make it pass the test? The things that we have looked at. Will fall. But somehow, when things are built up, when things are actually anchored, there are times when things will actually stay in its place. As we look at this picture, look at all the ones that did make it. And in real life, it's a true picture of what we look like here in this world. The ones that are founded in Christ, the ones that are anchored in the solid rock and the Petra and the cornerstone and the chief stone architectural of Jesus Christ, we will actually be able to stand while everything else is slanted and everything else is slated and everything else is gone away. We will still be standing Because we've been anchored and our foundation has been that on Jesus Christ. Are you anchored in Christ alone right now? Are you anchored in Christ alone? Would you pass the test? I'll never forget, I was watching a TV show, and I get into a lot of history stuff and the Travel Channel and the history, different things, and watch a lot of shows. I don't get a chance to watch a whole lot of TV, but when I do, I watch these type of shows. And one of them came across, especially as a history teacher, one of them came across about this whole idea of the city of Chicago. And back in the 1800s, and some of you may be familiar with this, it was filled, back in the 1800s, it was literally filled with all types of sewage problem. Literally, there would be plywood all over the streets. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Why was there so much water? Why was there so much sewage that was going all over the city of Chicago? People were getting sick and people were passing away, and it was just getting really, really, really bad. Massive diseases, massive destruction. And what was even worse is that literally rats were infesting all over the whole entire place of Chicago. And as they began to walk on plywood just to be able to get from place to place, one day they decided that they needed to do something because they must have done something. They needed to do something radical. And so they came up with this idea to literally raise the foundation between 4 to 8 feet tall on every single structure, every single building in Chicago. And here are actual pictures of people figuring out ways to raise every structure, to raise it between 4 and 8 feet tall. So if you go to Chicago today, you won't know this, but every single structure is literally 4 to 8 feet tall, and there is a sewage line that is running underneath there to save the life and come to the rescue of a whole entire city. They must have made a decision. They had to make a major decision to do this. And it goes the same with us. There are times when each and every one of us must make the decision, must react right now, because there is no time left. We must be raised. We must lay our foundation before Christ. And today, Chicago, instead of being extinct, is one of the most thriving cities. One of the most thriving places with close to 3 million people. What if they never have done that? It would never have taken place. It would never be what it is today. They raised it, they anchored it, and from then on, they continued to build upon that foundation. So what is true for the buildings, what is true for the all the structures and the foundations is the same thing that should be true for our homes. What are you building your foundation on in your home right now? With your families right now? What is the true foundation? Are you spending time in God's Word with your family, with loved ones? Are you in your friendships? Are you laying that foundation with your friendships? Are you laying the foundation here within the church? It's not a staff row job. It's not a deacon row job. It's not a Sunday school row job. It's the job of every single believer. Wherever you attend, whatever you do, that we all are building the rock. We are all laying down on the foundation of Jesus Christ wherever it is that we go. We all must appear. What is your true foundation? See, the thing is that we know that we're not going to escape from the storms, are we? In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the Lord. We know that we're not going to escape the storms. The storms are going to keep coming. The floods are going to keep happening. The earthquakes, the tornadoes, all the things in life, the divorces, the diseases, the deaths, the things that will take place in our life. But what comes our way, we can weather those storms because we've been anchored in that of Jesus Christ. So whether it's sewage that we begin to see from the world, or whether it's the infestation of rats from Satan's attacks, we can weather the storm. We can make it. Even when we mess up. Even when we mess up. I know there are people here today that may be saying, you know what, I've messed up too much. I know people here today say, is God really still forgiving me for the sins that I did back then? Will he still take care of me? I guess it was yesterday, Jamie and I were talking, and she was telling me of a story of her kindergartner that came up to her, I believe on Friday or Thursday, and came up to her and said, Mrs. DeFeo, can we make mistakes in here? Can we make mistakes in here? And Jamie looked at it and said, absolutely, we can make mistakes. That's why I got this big pink eraser. He said, okay, then I'll keep trying. That's 5-year-old wisdom right there. Okay, then I'll keep trying. Don't forget this verse, Isaiah 43:25. I am he, God. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. Okay, God, then I'll keep trying. 5-year-old wisdom. 5-year-old wisdom. Jesus is always telling us, you keep working at it. Hey, by the way, Troy, I already knew you weren't perfect. That's why I came down here. That's why this thing right here is so powerful. The cross that I hung up on, the one that I gave my last breath for, that's why I did it. You keep working. You keep trying. I know you can't do it, but I got this eraser that will blot out everything. And when I see it for my own sake, I'm only going to see Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ. If that don't get us encouraged, I don't know what else can. That should get us literally dancing every single day. It's a gift. It's Christmas every single morning that grace has come to each and every one of us every single day. And it should be the best news. It is the good news that Jesus Christ was sharing with everybody and why people fell in love with him and gave their very lives for him, because they said, I am with Christ. He is my cornerstone. He is my chief rock. I am Petra. I've been placed here on the cornerstone of Christ alone. Ephesians 2:20-22 says, Jesus is our chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows in a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This dwelling place. But when you leave here, you go find your new dwelling place. It could be in your home. It could be in your workplace. It may be in your car. But wherever it is, the Holy Spirit's with you and dwelling inside you. And you can make any place your sanctuary. That's what, how great it is by having God in your life. Can I ask you, church, how is your foundation looking right now with Christ? Are you in Christ alone? Have you been built on this foundation? Or is your life built on the foundation? See, to build a foundation on Jesus, the first thing I want you to know is this. We must know what Jesus knows. We have to be in Jesus' word to know what he knows. Did you know that this is Jesus' words? Do we really know that? This should absolutely change everything about how we live by opening this book. But so many people in life just say, it's a book. It's just a book. I'll look at it when I'm at the hotel room. I'll look at it when I get to church. I will dust it off, and hopefully back here in Leviticus, I'll try to undo the sticky part. If we want to know who Jesus is, we got to read his book. John 1, 1 through 14 says, in the beginning, the Word. In the beginning, the Word, Jesus, already existed. The Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. Verse 14, so the Word, Jesus, became human and made his home, made his dwelling among us. Every time you hear the Word, you must equal it, you must correlate that with Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the Word. He was literally a walking Bible. And that's one of the things that we need to be looking at in our own life as we are building for our rewards and the foundation, that we too are literally a walking Bible wherever we go. When someone asks us a question, we need to be prepared. We need to understand what this Bible is saying so we can tell people about Jesus. I'm not saying that you're going to be able to memorize all these verses, but we should know enough to be able to share with someone about Jesus. Of the 1,934 verses contributed to Christ, just to be specific, 1,934 verses contributed to Christ, 179 are Old Testament quotations that Jesus Christ shared in the New Testament. So not only was he the Word of God, but he quoted the Word of God from the Old Testament, from the Torah, from the Old Testament, because he wanted people to know that he is God. That's what put him on the cross. When he was combating against Satan's attacks, what did he use? When he was drawing close to the Father in heaven, what did he use? When he was talking to the Jewish people about Christ and about things and about the old things and the new things that were going to happen, what did he use? You got to know his word if you want to know Jesus. To build a foundation on Jesus, we must do what Jesus did. If we don't read his word to know who he is and what he did, it's going to be hard to emulate, to model, to build upon the foundation that was laid before his. What all did Jesus do? What all did Jesus do? Do you know? He loved people. He healed people. He spent time with people. He celebrated with people. He walked alongside with people. He went fishing. He died for us. He raised to life with us. Ephesians 5:2 says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let me tell you something. What do you smell like right now? What is the fragrance? What is the aroma that you are pouring off of you when you go to your schools? When you go to your work, when you go to your neighborhood, when you come here in church, when you are in your dwelling places, what kind of fragrance are you pouring off to him? What do we do? If we want to look like Christ, we got to do what Christ did. We got to love people. We got to serve people. We got to be around people. I'm not saying that we are of the world, but I say that we better get into the world. How is people going to know about Christ? We got to spend time with people. We got to spend time with people, all people, every kind of person. No one is exempt. Even at age 12, there must be something about little kids. Because even at age 12, Jesus Christ said, I am about my Father's business. You remember that? I'm about my Father's business at 12 years old. Why did you leave me? Why did you not go with everybody in the caravan? Why did you take off and go back to that place? Did you not know, Mom? Mother? Woman? Those were his words. It's the most reverent, respectful thing that he did. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Mom, I got a job to do. I know I'm only 12. I know I'm only a child. I know I'm only a teenager. I know I'm only 85 years old. I know I'm only retired. I know I'm just getting started. I know I'm just a college student. I know I'm just a truck driver. I know I'm just a landscaper. I know I'm just a teacher. I know I'm just this and this and this. But I must be about my Father's business every single day if I'm going to build upon the foundation that was laid before when Jesus Christ did it. David talked about that. Psalms 17:15 says, as for me, this is David's heart, as for me, I shall behold your face in the righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Are you satisfied with his likeness, with your likeness, when you awake? Do you look like him? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me. Paul was a little arrogant. You got to love Paul. But God used Paul in so many mighty ways. But for Paul to write that down, I mean, I never could write that. Paul says, be imitators of me. Because if you're an imitator of me, I'm going to tell you, this is what Christ looks like. Just as I also am of Christ. Whoa. That must be one radical day when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. I mean, he was blind and he couldn't see. All I know is that Jesus Christ touched him because he said, why are you persecuting me, Paul? And fell at his feet, couldn't see for several days. And after that, his life was transformed and changed. How about your life? How about my life? I'm not there yet to say, you need to look at me. I will never say that. I would also never say, hey, don't listen to my words. Just listen to Jesus' words. That's why I'm going to fill this place up with scripture more than my little stories. Because I want you to hear from God, not from just me. I'm just a mouthpiece, and I'm not even that good at it. Okay? Our anchors. What are you anchored in right now? Your hobbies, money, jobs? Your time, your social media, what addictions, are there anything right now that you're being anchored in right now that's keeping you? And by the way, you don't even need a hurricane. All you need is a and you've fallen. We, in our life, so our people are always asking, you know, you seem like you can make it through this. And we look at different people that have weathered all these hard things. How did you do it? I'm anchored in Christ. What's wrong with you? Well, I had this hangnail, and it just hurts. What's wrong with you? Well, this parent yelled at me. What's wrong with you? Well, my kids are mad at me. And they fall apart. What are you anchored in? If we can't weather the little things, what about the big stuff that's coming? We got to be anchored in Christ because you're a testimony and everybody's watching you, how you live your life. Why? Because you're the closest Christ that they can see, hear, feel, and touch. I want to close with this. Our motives and desires have to be in Christ. It has to be a commitment, not just here in this service. Guys, we're done in just a few minutes. We may be the most committed group for this hour. But I'm not even sure if even God's going to even count this hour. He's going to look at the other 23 hours. Because we're all doing good right now, except for some of you asleep. We got 144 more hours to go till next week. 144 hours to go. I did the math on it. Until next week. How are we going to be anchored, and what are you going to be anchored in? Are we going to be built on sand? Are we going to be built on the Petra, the rock, the chief cornerstone of Christ? There was a man that one day walked over to the piano because his mom was a pianist like Jan. And he came over and he sat in front of the piano and he noticed these words. It is well with my soul. See, this guy was not living the kind of life he needed to be living. And when this song came to him, it began to change everything. And then as he looked, he saw the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by the nail-pierced hands. His mom left these words, just, I'd rather have Jesus. Because he was watching his son go in a direction that that wasn't good. His name is George Beverly Shea. He was so talented as he began to put music and to this that even NBC offered him an amazing music career. But something happened in his life. He didn't take that career. He decided that he would actually spend the rest of his life traveling with this man, Billy Graham, until the day he retired. A person that was lost is now found. A person that had no purpose, that he felt, finally found purpose. A person that did not have Jesus, rather, he said, I would rather have Jesus. And it was well with his soul for the rest of his life. Is there anything that you would rather have? right now? Is there? What is waiting for you is the greatest thing that you could ever hope for. It surpasses everything. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to know that the things that we do when we give our life to you, it will be, as the great hymn wrote, it is well with our soul. And as George Beverly Shade looked at the piano and read the words, I'd rather have Jesus that his mom left for him, hoping and praying that his life would be turned around and been given purpose. It's those words that spoke to him. It's those words that changed everything. Lord, I pray that, God, that you would speak to each heart here today and allow us to realize that there is absolutely nothing that will ever come close than having anything except for you. I want to pray, Lord, for the Hell family as they mourn, as they remember, as they cherish their husband, their father, and their friend, that God, that you would please be with them today. And for us as a church family, I pray that you would absolutely, Lord, work through each one of us and allow us to look at our life and be able to continue to build on the foundation that was laid by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. What are we building on? What are the heavy things that will last forever? I pray that we would continue to do that today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. May we walk out of here encouraged. Maybe we walk out of here blessed. And maybe we walk out of here singing and shout for joy of what you are doing for us in the eternal heavens today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.